He is faithful. I so much appreciate thinking about it. I was there's a man at work. I've mentioned him a few times, but he's a man. He's a few years younger than me. I've known him since he first came to work, and he's a good Christian man. He's a Baptist, and he teaches. I thought he taught adult Sunday school at his church, but he teaches the juniors and seniors, I guess, is what he teaches. He told me that. We just had a really good time. We just, every once in a while, I think he just needs to get away from what he's doing. He'll come over to my desk, and we just had a really good time of fellowship, just talking about the Lord. And it was interesting to me to hear him talk about the things that he's learned from teaching teaching scripture and just hearing the change that God has done in his life. And I just, I think it's interesting because sometimes we don't always get to interact with people of different denominations and so on, but it just reminds me that in every place, those that want to study God's word, they will get instruction, and there's growth that can actually be seen. And I just really enjoyed, I'm glad that I have that privilege as well where I work to be able to have those kinds of people around me. And from time to time, it's a good, it's a welcome break to have somebody want to come and talk about the Lord. So I appreciate that. And God does watch over us and he provides. And, we don't know, never really know for sure what's going to happen, when these things start going, like the layoffs and so on. And there's always a little bit of apprehension about that kind of stuff. But I'm thankful that God has been faithful all these years. This is not the first layoff that I've been there for. And so I'm just thankful that God is faithful to provide however he sees fit. And he's always, through all those times, he's always just been faithful to take care of me in one way or another. And I appreciate that. God is the one we look to no matter what the situation. We always look to him. And this psalm that we're going to do tonight, which is the 88th psalm, by the way, I should have said that, I guess, when I sat down. But this 88th psalm is interesting because it's different than the psalms we have typically been seeing. Not entirely different because it is a cry and a lamentation, if you will, about difficulties. But the difference between this and the other psalms is it doesn't end in praise to the Lord. It's just strictly a psalm about the difficulties. And I thought that was interesting for a couple of reasons. One is, and I'll try to point this out as I go through, but it still starts out crying out to God. So the psalmist still knows to cry out to God. But it reminds us that sometimes it's okay just to take everything and lay it down in front of God and just let him take it. And it's very straightforward, if you will, in that sense. He just cries out and just lays everything down here. But again, the difference is typically we've seen, especially if David's writing, he'll go through that part where he kind of really talks about how bad it is, and then he'll come back to remind us that he still trusts in God and his praises to God. And I don't think we're going to consider here that there's some lack of trust in God, but this is really just about the part where there is just grief and complaint in a way, I guess, to lay out. And so mine said, it starts out, it says, a song or a psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Mahalath, which some think is a Mahalath Lenath, which some think is some sort of instrument. It makes sense, I guess. Maskil of Heman, the Ezrahite. If you go back into 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles, you'll find some mention of Heman the Ezrahite, who was a singer in his time. And so it's likely that's who this is referring to. I'm just going to start reading a few verses and probably read a few verses and then comment a little bit. He says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from the land. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Selah. Now, as I mentioned, you realize that he starts out crying unto God. So the first thing to notice and remember is this isn't just a generic complaint of some sort, because this one is, again, laid out before God. And he knows to cry to God. And notice, it's not just one cry to God. He says, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. And so this is a person who clearly knows that he needs to go to God, and he has. And it's a reminder that sometimes we lay out our needs and our cry before God, and it feels like he hasn't heard us. You see this thought, let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. He says, I've cried day and night, and it just feels like it's not being heard. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. Either because the trial that is upon us is so difficult that it just seems like it's lasting forever and that nothing is coming. And also sometimes it's because we're a little bit impatient and we feel like God should just answer us just right away. And sometimes he is doing something that needs to take time. But he knows who to cry to, so we find that here. And he knows to continue to cry to God day and night. And then he starts out in verse 3 and he says, my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Now, sometimes it's hard to determine through this poetic writing whether he really was near death for some reason. It could have been an illness or something. Or if he's in such a state that it seems that way. Because sometimes David would write that way as well. And he would write as though he was nigh unto death. But his meaning is that his trial is so severe that it just feels like death could come any time. Either way, it's terrible, right? Because if one feels that way, then clearly things are very heavy. And that's what would cause that. So he says, my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. He says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. And just a recognition here that he has no ability to bring himself out of whatever this situation is. And this is actually a good place to come to recognize, which of course is why he's crying unto God. To recognize that we have no strength of our own. And oftentimes we find ourselves in trials that we just have no way to get out of. And frankly, those are actually the best, by the way, because if we have no way to get out of it, then God definitely will show himself mighty on our behalf as he works his works that he wants to do in our lives. Verse 5, he says, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Now, a couple of things I want to notice here. Again, that he's really trying to paint that picture of how desperate this situation is. Like the slain that lie in the grave, he's practically already in the grave. And are cut off from thy hand. He says, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And this is a critical thing in here because, again, we realize through this that this person who writes us, he's not just crying out to some God. He recognizes that God has hand in his life, and that wherever, whatever he's come to, that God has his hand in that. And we need to recognize that as well, that when we come to those deep trials and that darkness, if you will, God is in that, and his hand is in that. And we can trust in him, just as we've been hearing with our testimonies, that we can trust in him. Whatever the situation, God is in that, and he knows and understands, and he's doing something through it. And this is true in every situation in our lives. We have to be careful about thinking that somehow we know which ones are trials from God and which ones are just little stuff that we can handle ourselves. All the circumstances of our life, all the things that happen in our lives, God has a purpose and he's doing something, and we need to recognize that his hand is in that. And always, of course, do as we see here, which is to turn and cry to him. He says in verse 7, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah." So something to think about. Again, he takes all this as from the Lord, not from some other source or from some other thing, but this is all from the Lord. And this is very important, because if we know that God has his hand in it, we know it's from him, then we know also that we can cry unto him, and he understands, and he knows. And he also knows the way out. We see that in there in 1 Corinthians, that he knows the way out. He the trials come, but God knows the way out. He actually knows the way through as well. And he is there with us. We see the the three Israelites there in the book of Daniel, and they're in that furnace, and there's another one there with them. He's in there with them. Not only does he know the way in and out, but he also knows the way through, and he is there with us in that as well. Verse 8, he says, "Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah." I'm going to stop here for a minute, because this statement, and this isn't the only place this has ever been made, but this statement, of course, he's talking about how, again, this is such a heavy trial, such a deep affliction that, again, he feels like he's at death's door. And maybe in the natural, even maybe some illness or some affliction that is literally putting him on death's bed. But he says this, and he says, "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee?" In other words, again, you understand the poetic usage here, but the idea here, the thought here is, if I die, Lord, then I can't praise thee. And this is intended to notice that those that are alive are praising God, and we will and should. Now, it doesn't mean that in death we can't praise him, but he's making a point here about the dead no longer praise him here amongst men, right? And he says, "Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah." And he's saying, Lord, if, in so many words, he's saying, "Lord, if you'll save me from this, I will continue to praise you." Now, we don't see, again, in this chapter, we don't see that come around as we do often with when David writes things. But certainly the insinuation is in this verse here, which is, if you keep me from the grave, I will be praising you. Then he says in verse 11, he says, "Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Again, just this, that kind of same thought about, if I'm in the grave, then I won't be able to show forth these things about you. Then he says in verse 13, he says, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." And I don't know that there's an old usage, I guess, of the word prevent, and it gets used in the King James a lot. And really, it just means to, in this case, it means to come early or to come before. And so the thought here in this is, in the morning, my prayer will come early unto you. So here is the closing of it that we often see, and this is as good as it gets in this one. But I do want to notice all these things. So notice how terrible he was. He was practically in the grave here. And then he says, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord." And in the morning, so this is the verse of hope, right? In the middle of all of this, and how terrible it is, he says, "That's terrible, but unto thee have I cried. In the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." Now, this struck me because, I'll tell you a little story about the layoffs. I've been working with a young man out there. He's been doing some stuff for me out in the shop, and he's only been there a couple of years, so he doesn't have any seniority. He's an engineer, and several of us were fairly certain he probably was going to get laid off because of where he was at and his lack of seniority and so on. And we were out there, and there was the next day was when it was supposed to happen. People were not supposed to come in anymore. They got laid off because they would call them at night and they didn't come in the next day. And we're out there working and we're not quite done and it's time to go home. And he says to me, "We'll just pick this up in the morning." And I thought, well, that's really interesting. To be honest, I don't really know if he's a believer or not. I get the feeling he might be, but I've only been around him a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But he said, "We'll pick this up in the morning." I thought, man, that's really optimistic because that doesn't seem likely. But he was there in the morning. But when I came to this, I was like, here's an interesting thought. This person is talking about how he's just like practically in the grave, one foot in the grave, as we say sometimes, right? And then he says, "In the morning shall my prayer come unto thee." And to me, this verse, I saw this as the verse of hope. No matter how bad things were, he was expecting that he would continue to cry out to the Lord, and in the morning he would pray again. And he goes on in verse 14, he says, "Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" So you see here that really that feeling that sometimes comes over us that we can't see God and that he's not noticing what's going on with us. It feels like, as he says here, cast off. He says, "Why have you cast off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" And so it feels like God can't be seen. And it reminds me of, there's several different songs along that line, but when you can't see his hand, trust his heart is one of them. And sometimes it feels like we can't see his face anymore. Like it seems like it's been obscured from us. But we know that he is still there. And so, again, we can continue and we will cry out to him and we will pray in the morning. "In the morning shall my prayer come up to thee." He says, "Why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" Verse 15, "I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness." And so he closes this out with just a reminder to God of how this feels to him. And one of the things that I considered about this psalm that I really think this psalm, unlike the others, like I said, doesn't come back at the end and talk about praising God. But this psalm reminds us that there is a time in our trials when it just seems overwhelming. And it's okay to go to God and tell him that. And that, you know, I read one commentary and he said, "Not exactly sure why this is in here." And then he went on to talk about some stuff. At first I was like, yeah, I kind of agree with that thought. Why is this here? It seems out of place. And then I thought about that, you know, that God left it here for a reason. And one of the reasons, I think, is so that we'll be reminded that it's okay for us to come to him and spill it, if you will, how we feel. I know there's people that some people, I think, that they think that Christians, you know, shouldn't really have any feelings. You know, we're just supposed to be. Well, there was even a song. I heard this song, and God's people are happy people. God's people are happy all the time. And I thought, no, I don't think so. There is a joy. We do have a joy that can't be taken away from us. But there's a difference between that and being happy all the time. And it's okay for those times when the distress comes, and it is significant, and it's okay. We feel that. And it's okay to go to God and tell him that. And what I appreciate is the psalmist here, he just says it all out. He doesn't hold back on anything. I am afflicted and ready to die, he says, from my youth up. I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. He says, thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compass me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. This all just, I mean, he really just lays it out how it is to him. I don't think there's any reason to think that this is wrong or that we shouldn't come to this place. Sometimes we do. But I think we have to remember verse 13 and remember that verse of hope. Unto thee have I cried, right? And daily, he said, in the morning, my prayer will come up before you early. I think we have to remember that. Yes, the situation seems untenable and it seems overwhelming. He says that. He says, they came round about me daily like water. If you don't know how to swim, being out in a lot of water is terrifying. Yeah, that's a good word. Thank you. It's terrifying because you don't know what to do, and you know that it will overtake you, and you can't do anything about that. And that, so when he uses this thought about come around me daily like water, there's that thought. If you ever just been somewhere where there was kind of a flash flood, that's actually a little terrifying because you don't know. You know the strength of that water, but you don't know what's exactly going to happen with that water. Is it coming more or less? And it can be very terrifying. People often underestimate, by the way, the power of water. It has a strength that people don't understand often. But I think that's why it's used here, because that water, it can surround you and it can become very terrifying. And that's kind of how he was feeling. See, thy terrors have cut me off. He says, they come round about me daily like water. They compass me about together. And he says, it feels like all my friends have abandoned me, right? Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance in the darkness. It seems like everybody's abandoned me, and I'm on my own. And sometimes it feels that way. Whether it's really that way or not, sometimes we feel that way. And it's okay, and in fact, it's good, to go tell God.
That's right.
Tell it to Jesus, right? Tell it to Jesus, because there's no better friend to tell it to. And God knows, and he is not upset that we feel this way about things. In fact, oftentimes that is actually the purpose of the trial, is to bring us closer to him, right? A more intimate relationship. So your true difficulties, the things that truly overwhelm you, you don't typically tell those to strangers very often. You tell them to your closest friends, the people that matter the most. And this is exactly what God wants from us. He's looking for an intimate fellowship with us. And so oftentimes these trials are intended to do just that. And if we're afraid to go tell him how we feel, then we haven't yet come to that place of close, intimate fellowship. Because when you are in that place, that's who you tell your darkest, most terrible, terrifying things to, the things that terrify you the most. And so that's who our God is. And so, yes, this psalm is a little different. And I'm actually glad it's a little different, because it reminds us that You know, in all the other psalms, there's always praise that comes afterwards, and that's important too. But this psalm just reminds us that before that, there's a period of the trial, and in that trial, we are often overwhelmed, and that's okay. And we need to take that overwhelming feeling and take it to God. We know from the other psalms that as we do that, then God will do the work and the praise will come, right? We know the praise will come because we will recognize God's hand in what he is doing in our lives. And so I appreciate that God places things in the scripture. Sometimes you go, I don't know what that's there for, but he has a purpose because he wants to teach us something about how he wants to deal with us. And in this case, I think one of the things we should learn is God wants us to go to him. Bring our cares to him, and lay it all out. Don't worry. You know, sometimes we want to go to God and say, oh, this trial is so wonderful. I'm so glad you let me have this trial. And we do that maybe because we feel like that's what God wants us to do, but maybe God really wants us to come and say, this trial is terrible and I can't stand it. And it feels like I'm all alone and it feels like I'm on death's bed and you're the only one I have to cry into. And sometimes that's what God is really actually bringing us to that place where we quit trying to pretend like we're okay and realize that we're not and that we need him, because that's where what he wants also is for us to recognize our need of him. And so that's really what I have from this psalm tonight.
He wants to hear.
Yes, I absolutely. Yes, and so in case we're not really 100% sure, he actually knows how we feel. Us trying not to tell him is not really working very well because he already knows how we feel. That's right. He wants to hear it from us.
That's about comfort in the prophet that was lamenting
that he was
the only
one, you know.
Elijah, yeah. Yes. And God does. He comforts our hearts.
Yes.
Doesn't always take us out of the trial, but he comforts our hearts. Give us strength.
Amen. Yes.
So he kind of shows us how things are going, you know, each and every day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really thankful that he, you know, he was telling us in a way, and I said, well, everything's going to be, you know, everything's going to be just fine. I'm going to take
care of
you.
Yes, amen. The song out there, something about God sees on the other.